I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
So, greetings, Earthlings and festival freaks, wherever you are around the world. Welcome back to the A to Z of Festivals with me, Rob DeBank. So, a couple of weeks ago, I travelled down to Bristol on the train and went and met up with my old compadre, Captain Barrett. Captain is the head of music at the excellent Boomtown Fair Festival. Boomtown entering its 11th chapter. They call them, their year's chapters. So chapter 11, subtitled A Radical City. So I went down to Bristol, went to a very unassuming kind of warehouse space on the outskirts of Bristol, and went through the door into Boomtown HQ with its twisty, turny labyrinth of amazingly creative people building sets for Boomtown 11 in there, people tapping away on their computers, launching new stages as we were in there. Amazing lineup this year, from Lauryn Hill to Cancer Bats, from Carl Cox to The Streets. Every style imaginable in there again. 125 days to go till Boomtown, people. So yeah, we went down to Bristol. We caught up with Captain, head of music from Boomtown Fair. So, welcome back to the A to Z of Festivals with me, Rob DeBank. I left a kind of foggy, grey London. I've arrived an hour and a half later in beautiful sunshine in Bristol with Captain. How are you doing?
I'm good. The sun always shines in Bristol. It's a fact.
That's what I thought when I got off the train. I thought, this is the home of Boomtown, so it's going to be kind of sunny. So thank you for agreeing to this. We've known each other a while, haven't we? I've known you since you were a wee lad in shorts running around, running the inflatable church.
Since the first festival, at least, yeah.
The first festival, so that's 15 years.
Wow.
And, now you are the, alongside many other things, you're Lord Mayor? Not Lord Mayor.
No.
Town Mayor.
I was the Town Mayor many moons ago, and then I became the Sheriff. But then I got killed off somewhere in the story. So I can concentrate on actually being head of music.
Well, that's what I was getting to. The important bit is that you are now head of music. But I mean, that's pretty amazing that you were Lord Mayor, Town Mayor, sorry, and then Sheriff, and now head of music. So yeah, congratulations. And we've travelled down here today. Obviously, so many amazing festivals that have come out of Bristol and the West Country. Boomtown being probably the biggest at the moment. Set the scene. Is this where it all started? We're in a kind of sort of slightly feels down at Hill warehouse, but once you get inside, it's kind of Boomtown.
Yeah, well, I'm that's kind of where a lot of parts of Boomtown started, I guess, was in warehouses. But Bristol is very Bristol centric. I mean, when it first started, it was, I think, 95% of the people that used to come to Boomtown were from Bristol, and very much the music from the city drove the festival itself. But over the years, since it's grown, it hasn't lost that. It's just grown extra limbs as well.
Yeah, I mean, that's the beauty of festivals, isn't it? You start with a core audience and then you kind of grow, and hopefully you keep that core audience with you.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I was going to kick off with a few little warm-ups, Captain, just to kind of get you in the mood, a few true or falses. So,
hit me.
Right, number one, you've just been on your stag do to Carnival in Trinidad.
I have.
True or false?
True.
My God, I went to Brighton, got thrown in the sea and, like, got drunk on cheap lager. That was my stag do, and you went to Carnival in Trinidad.
Do you know what they even the beer, the local beer, was called Stag. It couldn't have been more perfect. And I watched the Panorama steel pan contest, and the winning one started with Here Comes the Bride. I was like, definitely in the right spot,
man. God, amazing. So was that a incredible spot to see a carnival?
I mean, it's one of the best parties, like, especially Juve morning. It's definitely one of the best parties on the planet. Yeah.
And so in comparison to something like Notting Hill that people might have gone to, what's the difference? Everything.
Yeah, it is a very different... I mean, obviously, Notting Hill is amazing in many other ways. You know, they're both incredible festivals, incredible carnivals. Trinidad's like the birthplace, though. You know, it's got layers and layers of rich history.
It's not just sound systems, is it? It's the whole art and theatre, and which is kind of a bit like Boomtown. So that's good. So that's true. Right, true or false number two: Boomtown is announced in chapters as a kind of theme each year. So one of these names for the chapters isn't true from the last 10 or so years. The Palace has risen.
True.
The revolution starts now.
Oh God! No, that's it is no, that's true.
It's true.
Yeah.
And has anyone seen my tent? I haven't seen it since Wednesday.
No, that's false.
Yeah. Okay. You did well. 2 out of 4.
I thought the revolution one was slightly different. I thought you were trying to catch me out.
No, but, I think that from Wikipedia that is.
Oh, there you go. It must be true. There.
Okay. President Eisenhower addressed the D-Day troops in 1944 in the Matterley Bowl, which is where Boomtown now resides.
True.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's pretty incredible, isn't it? I was looking through the list and it's like 1944, President Eisenhower, 1990 something, Creamfields, and then NSYNC or some mad American boy band, and then Boomtown.
I've been to Matley Bowl a couple of times before Boomtown moved there for
home.
But I wasn't there for Eisenhower.
No,
you missed that one.
Okay. And last but not least, on true or false, the sets for Boomtown are so convincing that you once found someone who'd been living in one of the cardboard and scaffold houses for 3 months after the festival had finished, thinking it was real.
I mean, it definitely sounds like it could be true, but I think that was false.
Yeah. So does it all come down quite quickly afterwards?
Yeah. I mean, as long as the weather's all right, it comes down, you know, within a month.
Yeah. That's still quite a long time.
True. I mean, it's a lot. It's a lot to take down.
Well, I mean, that, you know, we'll get into that. This is obviously the beauty of one of the beauties of Boomtown is that it's a sort of living town, a living village, a living world that's kind of probably one of the most sophisticated ones in the world in terms of a set build. So we'll get into that. I mean, obviously we're going to be talking a lot about music as well. So I mean, on the Boomtown website, you guys like to keep it mysterious. It says, our story begins with our intrepid explorer Nicholas Boom discovering gold in them there hills and founding a small township and port that would in years to come to be named after him and known to all the world as Boomtown. So a lot of us write our sort of festival biogs and it's like, yeah, so-and-so started in so-and-so in 1987. But you guys, you know, tell us about the mystery of Boomtown.
I think it's good to have a story, which it used to be the story kind of like was an add-on to the festival, and over the years it's become almost drives the festival, you know, whatever the next story is going to be. But I guess it does help to keep it mysterious. It's nice when you turn up to something and you have to figure it out. You know, you don't really know what's going on. I think there's something about turning up at a festival and getting a little bit lost.
Yeah.
And, you know, not really knowing what's going on. And Yeah, I definitely when I was growing up, that was my favourite way to approach a festival.
And the guys who started it, they like that kind of mystique. They don't want to be out front kind of...
Yeah, very much so. It's how I ended up as a town mayor, because they just sort of put me out front so they could get on with running the festival, you know?
Yeah, so there's two guys who started it who are still running it now.
Yeah, totally.
What are their names?
Lack and Chris.
And so they started it in 2009, and it was actually in Gloucester first and then Dorset, is that right?
Forrester Dean, I think, first, and then Dorset sounds about right.
Yeah, and then finished up in the Matterley Bowl in 2011, which, if people don't know, it's kind of outside Winchester. It's this mad sort of natural bowl, isn't it? It's
a great site, and you know, it's good because now it started in the bowl, which is like a perfect home for a festival, but now it's grown sort of on top of the hill and then back down the other side, and it's a beautiful site as well.
So I mean, obviously I'm hoping that some of the people that are listening to this are Boomtown hardcore, you know, might have been to every one or been to the last few. Others, you know, are just interested in festivals. So, you know, we're actually sat here in this sunlit office on the outskirts of Bristol, and we're leaning on some Boomtown site maps, which I love. I always love a site drawing. That's sort of geeky festival bit of me. So we're kind of balancing our cups of tea on the site map, and I can see all the different names like Sunset Hill, Halfway Woods, and you know, you've got the whole thing laid out for 2019. So describe, you know, Boomtown to someone that's never been, someone who's just landed from the moon. And
I think the best way to describe it is how it's divided. So it's divided into 12 different districts, and each district has its own kind of identity. So you'll find its own characters. So, for example, let me get in Old Town, which is very much animated by Invisible Circus. There's a very kind of like oldie worldy vibe to it. You know, almost it used to be quite a piratey village, but it's progressed a bit from there. But you find a lot of folkier bands there and Balkan bands and things like that. But then if you go down to District 5, it's very much future world. And there's a lot of, it's like really even more twisted Blade Runner. So you'll find lots of hardcore techno, you know, very intense drum and bass and stuff like that.
Yeah, and that's the beauty of a Boomtown. Again, you know, you can go from Balkan and Gypsy and folk through ambient to kind of proper trance. One of my favourite memories of Boomtown is a couple of years ago coming across the full-on trance rave at like 4 PM
forest.
With all the UV going off and just people just absolutely losing it to the music that I, you know, once thought was the devil's music. And I loved early trance, and then it kind of went a bit wrong. And now, you know, it's a huge scene, isn't it? And
it's a love or hate thing. And it's funny, actually. I think I went through a period of like thinking it was the devil. And do you know what? You go into that forest at any time of day, and you know, the vibe in there is just beautiful.
It put a smile on my face, and I stood there for like at least a couple of hours, kind of people watching, and not in a sort of weird way, but I was loving it. And I could feel the vibes. For those who haven't been, then it's this just insane series of worlds that you go through, and each world is kind of curated by, obviously you guys are at the top, but then is there a sort of tribe of people that do each area?
Yeah, so there's our core team, and we program 27 to 30 stages sort of in-house, and then each area has one group of people who kind of oversee it, and then lots of different street venues which all have their own individual crews as well. So there's, you know, there's about 100 of those, and then lots of different actors that kind of populate the different districts. So there's a different crew of those. So there's a lot of crews.
Yeah, that is a lot of crews. I mean, with Best of All, we've had 25 stages, but if you're just doing 27 in-house, and then you've got, it's kind of a mind-boggling feat of man and woman management.
Yeah, Yeah, yeah. Just kind of, you know.
You're looking freaked out, work. Captain. Don't worry, it's going to be all right. I'm sure it's all coming together.
Oh, it all comes together, you know, by hook or by crook.
Yeah. Okay, so, I mean, I know from being asked this 1,000 times, it's kind of an annoying question sometimes, but what's new for 2019?
Lots, actually. Yeah. I mean, Boomtown is forever evolving. No year stays the same in any way, shape or form, really. But this year in particular, we've kind of ended the story at chapter 10 and we've opened up a new book almost. It's still chapter 11, but it's kind of kicking off a new story.
So what was the kind of cliffhanger at the end of chapter 10 or the sort of final curtain?
So... So basically what happened was there was a revolution, and then after the revolution no one really knew what to do, so a corporation came in and just sort of started to take over and give people a bit of direction. And at the end of chapter 10, they were trying to figure out who the masked man who helped to lead the revolution was, and it turned out to have been a corporate stooge, you know, like an android that was placed by the corporation. And this all came to light through Amy, AMI, who's like an artificial intelligence. So she took everyone down, basically.
Stay with it, people.
Yeah, stick with me. So she took the corporation down. It all kind of kicked off. And then it ended with Amy basically saying that things need to change, both for the festival and worldwide, that things have to become more sustainable. So that's really a big focus for us this year, is sustainability and how we actually help to make the festival not so much of a, you know, or any festival, not so much of an ecological disaster. And then with that as a microcosm for hopefully the planet, you know?
Mm. Yeah, I mean, you know, us guys, all the festivals, whatever people think, we do talk, you know, the majors, the indies, everyone sort of talks about this stuff because it is crucial, and I think it fills us all with kind of sadness when we walk away from some of our shows and there is so much debris, plastic, tents, you know. Some people, you know, the Shambhalas of the world do it incredibly well, and so I'm not talking about everyone, but you know, and what, you know, without necessarily giving all your secrets away, is there some magic formula to that you're employing at Boomtown next year, or is it just lots of
little things? You know, there's a team working on so many different initiatives, and I mean I don't have them all to hand, but I mean they're definitely not a secret, because you know it's something that we would happily give to other people and for everyone to roll out, you know. Yeah, it's an important thing.
Yeah, okay. And you want your kind of paying customers, if you will, or what do you call them, the Boomtownites?
Citizens,
there you go. Mm. The citizens to feel that it's their town and they need to...
To look after it, yeah, definitely, totally.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
The This is Rob DeBank's A to Z of Festivals. Subscribe now and please remember to rate. Okay, best Boomtown memory. For me, probably the Magic Carpet ride.
I don't think that's one of our better memories.
Yeah, no, I mean, fraught with... but tell us about that.
There's... One of the issues that we have at Matley Estate is you do have to hit some hills.
That's an understatement.
Yeah. You know, it's up and down.
All the best festivals have big hills.
Absolutely.
Starting with the Big Chill.
Yeah, Big Chill. I remember we used to have the inflatable church on top of the Big Hill at Festival.
And yeah. All the festivals beginning with B with hills.
They always got to have hills. So to try and combat this, one year we put up a magic carpet, which is kind of just an escalator going up the hill.
Kind of thing.
It was a nice idea, but it didn't really work, I'll be honest.
No. I think ski lifts and mud and grass and trees.
Don't always get on, do they?
People drinking cider. But for you, your best Boomtown?
For me, best Boomtown memory, there's been a lot, actually. You know, there's amongst it all, there's been a lot of really good moments. I think one was we were having a particularly tough year and I was kind of like head down, you know, dealing, firefighting lots of issues. And then all of a sudden, the Cat Empire were headlining the town centre stage. And I was like, right, I'm going to go and catch them. I'm going to catch them play. And drove up, got onto the stage, picked up a couple of my friends who had been playing at the festival on the way, got them on the back of the buggy, pretty much drove up onto the stage. We're like, right, come on. And then just looked out and realised why you go through all of that, you know? Yeah. Why you do, the crowd were just... absolutely just going wild to Cat, and Cat Empire were delivering their best show that I think I've ever seen them do, and it all just made total sense. I was like, oh, okay, this is why we do all of this.
And there is that danger when you're running a festival that you sit in a porter cabin listening to the radio or firefighting like you were saying, and you don't get to actually see
any of it. And now I'm really lucky. I've got a really good team around me and I get to be in the festival watching the bands, because it's important if you're booking all the bands, you know, I need to see that they're delivering and the reaction that they're having with the crowd and all of that. So, yeah, I get to be a little bit freer now.
Okay, and without it being anything necessarily too dark, but worst Boomtown memory, it could be, you know, just a band that didn't perform or didn't turn up.
Do you know what? I think it's got to be the last minute headline cancellations. One that really springs to mind is Barrington Levy, and one day maybe I'll give him another chance because I'd love to see him play on the Lion's Den, but three times bitten, you know. And
is he cancelled on you
three times?
Oh man, that's...
And the last one, it was, I think he was headlining the Sunday and it was the Friday that pulled out. So trying to get a Sunday night headliner, you know.
Excuses each time, like my.
It's mainly last minute visa issues, you know. They're just not sorting it out.
Yeah.
But yeah.
One year we will get Barrington there.
One year, yeah. He actually managed to get a visa for a UK show last year. So there's a little bit of me which is thinking maybe. Yeah.
Okay. And we're going to go through some more music in depth in a minute, but. You know, I think anyone who's been to Boomtown is really fascinated by the kind of set builds, and we've talked a little bit about it. But who's kind of in charge of that? Who's building the stages? Who's designing them? Who's kind of evolving them?
Different teams. All different teams kind of take the different districts. So you've got like a district coordinators and separate production teams. Then there's an overall production manager and... who's Robin, who is, you know...
Big up Robin.
Yeah, long-time festival veteran.
Yeah.
Does many, many great things. And
So does someone sit down with the kind of overall vision of, you know, this at this point in that in that district, that's going to kind of meld into this bit? Because it's kind of seamless when you get on site, isn't it, a lot of it? You don't see any sort of scaffolding. You don't see any kind of backstage stuff. It's all...
Yeah, it gets better every year. I mean, it's something that... So Lack is the creative director. And, you know, it's his vision to kind of make that sort of stuff work, to make it almost seamless. And then Graham, the site manager, who came on board last year, done an incredible job. So yeah, I mean, it's a strong team. It's a really strong team, and it really is kind of everyone jumping in and doing their best.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Well, let's get into the bill for 2019, because I'm sure there's lots of citizens of Boomtown 2019 that are kind of either bought their ticket or getting ready to, and see some of these beauty. So we'll go through, I'll just throw some names at you, and you tell us anything, you know, how hard it was to book them, the crazy demands on their rider.
Let's do it.
Lauren Hill,
super easy, pretty good. You'd expect diva-ish tactics, but no, it's been really good. The main issue that we had with Lauren, of course, is a few years ago there was what turned out to be a rumour that she said she'd rather white people starve than I have them buy her album, which has since been overturned, as it was just a rumour. She never actually said it. But that has like dogged there for many, many years. So everyone's got this issue that Lauryn Hill's a racist, and yeah, was never actually true.
It's not true.
Yeah.
Okay, and yeah, I mean, obviously she's got a bit of a reputation for coming on late on stage.
So. Yeah, I've allowed for that. It's it's cool. We got that covered.
You gave a set time 4 hours earlier.
A little bit earlier, yeah.
Yeah, you're on at 4 p.m, Lauren, okay? Just be there. Okay, Prophets of Rage.
Prophets of Rage. We've been trying to get them for a couple of years, actually. So I can't say it was that easy, but this year just kind of came together pretty well.
So for people that don't know, that's a great collaboration.
Yeah, so it's the band from Rage Against the Machine. But instead of Zach De La Roche, it is Chuck D from Public Enemy and Be Real from Cypress Hill. Yeah, so it's a good one. And we had Cypress Hill a couple of years ago, who had a great show on the Lion's Den, so maybe that helped a little bit.
Yeah, cool. The Streets, Mr. Mike Skinner.
Yeah, super easy. Yeah, and I'm really happy, actually, because a lot of their shows that they've been doing seem to be getting a lot of good feedback. So I think on the Lion's Den, with all the classics,
yeah,
it's going to be a good
it's
one.
It's great seeing Mike, you know, in the Streets coming back, you know, after quite a few years, and you know, everyone's so into kind of grime and, you know, yeah, UK hip hop, and there's some amazing artists, but he's just sat straight back in there and kind of totally smashing it.
Totally, and I think he's the sort of artist that you'd hear all over Boomtown anyway, so it just kind of made sense to us, and you know, big artist.
Cool. UB40?
UB40. UB40 is always a tricky one, isn't it? Because there's two UB40s, yeah, and there's a lot of politics involved with that. And I almost made a pact with myself that I would never book them unless they got back together and it was the whole band, you know. And I still want to do that. So fellas, you know, if you want to make up, we've still time.
Yeah, you've got a few months. I've booked bands like that before. There's quite a few out there, aren't there? Like a lot of funk bands as well, and Sister Sledge and stuff, where they've split in two and they're both using the name. And I have thought about booking them both and put them on one after the other.
I thought about that as well. and yeah, there's many things. I don't like to choose one side over the other. But eventually it was the fact that, you know, Ali and Astro approached us, and they were the first ones who kind of said they really wanted to play. So
yeah,
that's who we went with.
Okay, cool. So we're going to dot through some of the many, many stages of Boomtown now. Supercat and Marcia Griffiths.
Supercat is a character.
Wait, is this Lion's Den? Or?
Lion's Den, yeah. So Supercat, I mean, he hasn't played the UK for years, and it was a process, but he's into it. He's into the idea, and I think he really wants to make a comeback in the UK. I'm super excited about that one.
Yeah. Me too.
Marsh Griffiths, super easy, super lovely. Another artist who I've been trying to get for years, but this time it's just kind of, you know, planets aligned, it all happened. And she is coming with Tanya Stevens as well, who we've had a couple of times, and who's always had magnificent shows. Yeah. So
when I was talking to Emily Evis, then we sort of touched on riders and backstage stuff, and you know, Glastonbury have got this kind of policy they've always had, where, you know, let's not get all fancy for the artists. You know, you deal with what you turn up and get, which is fine if you're Glastonbury, but
yeah,
not everyone's that forgiving. So how do you guys treat artists?
Well,
stupid question, but I mean,
unfortunately you can't within a festival give everybody everything they want. It'd be great, you know, everyone want, we always want to look after people, but also some of the more outrageous ones, like the Antwood last year wanted two live animals in cages, and we kind of had to draw a line there and be like, no, sorry guys,
they specify,
they didn't specify which ones, and we talked through various options,
being like a gerbil and a hamster.
Yeah, exactly, that kind of thing. But then we're like, actually, no, this isn't cool. We're going to say no on that one.
Yeah, and they were fine.
They were fine. They didn't kick off. No.
Okay, so Carl Cox and Fortet are leading a mega lineup of kind of house electro techno. Carl and Fortet, two monsters of
Definitely. Carl Cox is another one. You know, I've been trying for ages, and I've been a massive Carl Cox fan since the 90s, you know, the early 90s. I used to buy his hardcore tapes.
Yeah, yeah.
They were my favourites. And he's got so much great history and so much, you know, he's so passionate about what he does.
Out of anyone in that electronic world, he's just kind of stayed as popular as ever around the world, from Australia to Ibiza to UK to...
within so many different kind of, you know, to so many different people. He means so many different things to so many different people, to the point where, you know, some people see his name on a poster, you're like, oh, what? That's like Ibiza stuff. And, you know, it's like, well, we booked him for slamming techno set. Don't know where he's going to go, and he can go wherever he wants with that, you know. But the same with Fortet. He's such a diverse artist. I remember watching him in Fabric, and... he was on for an hour, and then the people around us we were talking to were like, oh yeah, we're just waiting for Fortet. And I'm like, it's been on over an hour. You know, this is Fortet. Yeah. And they're like, oh, you know, no one seemed to realise.
No.
You know, and he's done his things
very
like
humble,
back to back with Skrillex and things like that you don't expect.
Yeah, he's always pulling a surprise out of the bag.
Yeah.
So just going back to that comment you said about Carl and, you know, oh, this is a bit of Ibiza or whatever, you know, your crowd, you know, you grew up with a very... you know, not a hardcore crowd, but a, you know, fairly, probably quite vocal crowd who knew what they wanted and stuff. And, you know, a lot of our festivals are like that. They do have a particular crowd. And then as festivals evolve, people kind of, you know, a little sniping here or sniping there. But, you know, and you guys probably, since you booked Grillers, you know, it's sort of taken on a whole nother leap in a good way, I think, for 99% of people. But do you get that sort of, do you worry about the sort of...
We try and grow as naturally as possible. I always think about the audience that we already have before we add anything else on, you know. It has to feel right for Boomtown in order to make it happen. But you're always going to upset a few people, and the old school guys who were there when it was a 5,000 capacity festival are always going to worry when it gets too big. But I honestly, you know, hand on heart, the bigger it gets, I feel the better. You know, it still maintained a lot of its roots within areas like District 5, and, you know, still got great punk lineup, still got great hardcore techno lineup, still got a great drum and bass lineup, still got a even better reggae lineup.
All right, we're just about to get into that.
Oh, sorry. All right.
But just quick, just quickly back on to growing. What is it, 60,000 now, the capacity?
Yeah.
And is that sort of capped for the moment, or is it...
I mean, for the moment...
Yeah.
Yeah.
He said with a wink in his eye that you can't really pick up on a podcast, but... okay, cool. Right, Atari Teenage Riot and Killing Joke.
Yeah.
What stage is that?
Both Town Centre.
Town Centre, okay, yeah. Cool. So they're heading up with Napalm Death, a big kind of metal and hardcore and...
Yeah, and a lot of it... I think that's another thing. So I think with a lot of artists, it's more their, almost more their values that kind of are the selling point, you know, and that's what kind of makes them work. So Enter Shikari last year, musically, it was probably the most different. Even though we had a big metal contingency coming in, they're a lot different. Great performers, which is another reason, and people love the show. I unfortunately missed a lot of it, but. But just what they're about as well, you know.
You were in the trance tent, weren't you?
I was down in the Cy Forest, yeah.
The Cy Forest. Okay, yeah, well, the Infected Mushroom and Eat Static, those were the next ones I was going to come
up
to.
Oh, yeah. I mean, some classics, right?
Yeah. Eat Static, one of my favourite festival bands from Glastonbury's of old. I mean, yeah, we won't go through every act because there's just so much on the bill, and I'm sure people are familiar with a lot of it. You've got incredible drum and bass lineup with Bad Company and DJ Rap, DJ Die. And then I'm quite kind of proud in a way that I don't know a single act on one of your whole stages.
Is that the Scrapyard?
No. Although I might not know that as well, but the Flying Moustache Tent.
Oh, the Flying Moustache. Yeah, that's just been released. It's in Copper County. It's a smaller venue.
Is it bad that I don't know any of the acts?
No, well we've got.
I mean, I skimmed through it.
So we've got a Spotify playlist. You can go through it.
I'm going to. I mean, what's the style? What?
It's a bit more. So basically, what happened was there were loads of kind of really good festival bands. This is how it started, anyway. There were loads of great festival bands that weren't quite good enough to or solid enough to kind of hold a big few hundred capacity stage, but we didn't really have anywhere to put them, so we built this, it was like 150 200 capacity in there, and put those sort of bands who love the festival, who have really good energy but maybe aren't quite as rounded as some of the ones on the bigger stage. But over the years, actually, that's developed into like, we've run out of space, someone really wants to play.
Yeah.
Hey, we've got this stage still left.
And then my favourites on the bill, Siberian Meat Grinder, Ed Cox and E. Coli, and Muddy Summers and the Dirty Field Whores.
Yeah, all fantastic.
Is that you under different pseudonyms?
That is just my aliases, yeah.
Yeah.
Siberian Meat Grinder, actually. We've got three really good Russian sort of hardcore punk bands in Hangar 161, and they're one of them. They're fantastic. If you're into that sort of stuff, Moscow Death Brigade are the other ones.
I did
really
see
good.
That as well.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So, I mean, being getting a bit more serious, maybe, you guys have always been really on top of, you know, charity, education, awareness. You make a lot of charity donations each year, you know, both in Winchester and nationally. Is that an important part of the ethos of Boomtown?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's quite a common thing amongst a lot of festivals. You know, festivals who have a sense of responsibility, you know, because essentially festivals are just bringing communities of people together, isn't it? You know, it's bringing people together, and for whatever reason. So I think there's always a sense of responsibility, both socially and, you know.
Yeah, and that will maybe have a real green kind of angle to it this year as well.
Yeah, I'd imagine so.
Yeah, you're keeping secrets from me, Captain. I told you, I'll get the thumb screwed on. Okay, let's kind of wrap it up as the sun goes down here in Brizzle. But, you know, the festival landscape, looking out there with you guys, with your, you know, with Boomtown in the scene, how are you guys feeling?
Yeah, I mean,
feeling pretty good.
We're feeling good. I mean, it's been a great few years. You know, we're on chapter 11 now, and you know, we've had our troubles along the way, but every year, you know, we've walked away from it going, that was slamming. And hopefully other people have, and you know, as we say, we've grown, and I think we've managed to maintain a lot of the roots of what we do, but then, you know, our folk lineups have got bigger, our jazz lineups have got bigger, and you know, it's great.
Broad church.
There's so much good new music and so much good classic music. I don't think I could ever get bored of it. So yeah, I'm super happy.
Okay, and I mean, the future, you know, it's quite difficult when you're running a festival to look too far ahead, because, you know, each year is different and can throw up all kinds of things. But is there a kind of grand Boomtown plan for the next 10 years, or is it more year on year? Or
I don't know if there's a 10-year plan. I think there's definitely a 5-year plan. But, I don't think it can be contained at the size it is now. And there's so many more ideas that want to happen, and you know, there's so much more from my side, so much more music that I'd like to explore, but also from the theatrical side, so much more that they'd like to do. I don't think it can be contained at the same level for that much longer.
Watch this space.
Yeah.
Okay, last one. So what's Captain's kind of secret tip for Boomtown 2019? Could be an amazing place to camp, could be an act, could be a drink, could be something to eat.
I think I'm going to have to go with an act, aren't I? I'm going to go with two, though. I'm going to cheat. Both on the Forge stage, actually. They're a little bit under the radar, but promise you, they're absolutely mind-blowing live. There's BCUC from South Africa. I don't even know exactly how you describe them, but check them out. South African band. Their release music is good, but their live show is absolutely mind-blowing. And San Salvador, who are a vocal harmony group. So it's just vocals and drums, but the power they get out there. And again, I don't think they've got any release music, but the power of their live show, like when I saw them, just absolutely shook me. So
there you go, from the man himself, Captain, head of music from Boomtown. Thank you very much for being on this humble podcast, and we will see you in the Cy Forest in a couple of months' time.
Thank you. See you there.
This is Rob DeBanks' A to Z of Festivals. Subscribe now and please remember to rate.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.